Well, amen. We're going to be looking in Judges chapter 5, Judges chapter 5 tonight. So while you're opening your Bible up there, we'll give you just a couple announcements. Remember to be praying for our Vacation Bible School. That'll be July the 12th through the 16th. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer if you'd like to help out. And make sure you stop out there and sign up for whatever it is you feel God's gifted you in. Amen. And also remember, this Sunday, we're going to have breakfast in between the two services. So then, at the end of the 9 o'clock service, right at 10 o'clock, when we're dismissed, you'll be able to go outside and we'll have sausage and eggs and things like that out there. If you come to the later service at 10:30, you can just, instead of coming at 10:30, come at 10 and have a nice breakfast. We want folks to be able to fellowship together, and we've been kind of scattered all over, and so there will be a great time for us to be able to gather. We always do better with gathering together when there's food involved, amen? And so make sure you check that out. Also, I've been working on our couples retreat. It's going to be in October, October the 1st and October the 2nd, so mark that down on your calendar. We'll be putting more information out so you can get signed up for that. We're going to have a great time together. Going to have some fun things and good instruction from the Word of God. And so you want to be available for those things. All right, we're going to look in Judges chapter 5. And we're going to read the chapter as we go through and expound on each verse. So I'm just going to read the first verse. It says, "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Benoam, on that day, saying." And so you can see the title of our lesson tonight is Praising the Lord. That's why I wanted to sing that song, Praise Him, Praise Him. And this really, in this chapter, is identified as the Song of Deborah. And we saw last week how God would deliver Jabin into the hands of a woman. Deborah was a prophetess, and she would rise up and encourage Barak to go into battle and fight against Jabin, and they would win that battle. And the wickedness of the people brought God's judgment down upon them. And we need to be reminded of that all through the scriptures we find when man rebels against God, God releases his wrath and his judgment on man. And so we want to be walking with the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord, doing what's right, obedient to the Lord. The goodness of God brought God's deliverance. And certainly in God's chastening hand, he brings a spirit of repentance. And when we repent, then God will bring deliverance in our life. He brought the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. He certainly would, through the book of Judges, we're seeing over and over again, as the children of Israel repented and turned to their God, God would bring deliverance. And so Deborah, she has something to rejoice in, something to praise God about, because of the deliverance that was brought her way and for Israel. This song is designed for a psalm of praise, then the pattern of the praise to after ages. And so, in other words, that the psalm was designed as a way to praise God that would carry on the generation to generation. And if we can't be excited about God, how can we expect the next generation to be excited about God? And oftentimes we have a tendency to condemn our young people and say, well, they just don't have much zeal for God, but how much zeal did we have, you know? And so we need to be excited for the things of the Lord. Deborah is expressing a song of thanksgiving for the goodness of God. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 3, you see it in your notes there, it says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And so the song of Moses matches with the song of Deborah, because both of them were songs that were written celebrating and rejoicing in the blessings and the deliverance of God. James 5:13 says, is any of among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Then let him sing psalms. And so if we're happy in the Lord, we're excited about how God is blessing and moving, then certainly we need to sing songs of praise to our God. In Judges 5:7, it says the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. And so here is Deborah writing a great song to celebrate and rejoice. She not only had to give courage and strength and leadership when it came into the time of battle, but she has to provide strength and leadership and encouragement to praise God after the battle. And sometimes it just seems like you got to push people sometimes just to try to get them to be excited about the Lord. God works great things in their life. Then it's almost like you got to push them to get excited for God. And so the Song of Deborah, this is a great song. And so let's see if we can draw some thoughts out of this chapter tonight. First of all, when we think about praising God, I think we need to be willing. Need to be willing to praise the Lord. Notice there must be those that are willing followers. In verse 2, it says, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. And so if we're going to be able to have victory, we're going to be able to face deliverance and win the battles in our life, then we need to be willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to surrender ourselves completely to what God's will is, so much so to even offer ourselves as an offering. Paul said, be followers of me as I follow Jesus Christ. And so we establish that leadership, if you will, that embraces the followers to walk with Jesus Christ. And so we praise, there's praise here in this chapter for God's vengeance. And God is a jealous God. He will not share his glory with anyone else. And when his people cry out to him, he'll bring a vengeance upon the wicked. I just see the trends in the world in which we're living, and I just really, it just stirs my heart. And I wonder how long is it going to be before God avenges himself, before he avenges his people. And I'm working on some things for a message on prophecy and getting some things that are going on in the world. And I'll tell you one thing, we are so focused on such foolish stuff in America that we are completely unaware of what's going on in the world that we live in. And I'll tell you, God's vengeance, I believe, is about ready to fall. And so they're praising God because God has sent his vengeance on the wicked. But we also praise God for his grace. And if it were not for the grace of God, we would be lost. We would have no hope. It was God's grace that was extended to Israel to deliver them because he didn't have to deliver them. But God has extended grace to them. And so we rejoice in the ability of God to bless as we willingly follow his leadership into the battles that we need to fight for the glory of God. So there must be a willing followers. Letter B there in your notes, there must be willing leaders. Because in verse 9 it says, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people, bless ye the Lord. And so there was not only those that were willing to follow, but there were those that were willing to lead. And oftentimes we need to be reminded that whenever you take the position of leadership, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be difficult things you're going to have to overcome. There's going to be decisions that you have to make in order to be able to achieve what God's leading you to do. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, Paul challenges the pastors of the churches. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. And then he follows up that statement in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And so it's just as much as Israel had to be aware of the enemy that was going to attack them, they needed to have leaders who would unite together in surrendering to the Lord's leadership. And how we need to unite together as we surrender to lead the people of God. Every one of us is influencing somebody for Christ. Every one of us is either trying to lead someone to the Lord, or you're discipling someone in the Lord, or someone has been watching and viewing your life as they watch you grow and mature in the Lord. And so we need to be willing to lead in those areas. And because of the fact there are those that are offered up, those that struggle and those who are in the battle, but they needed somebody to show them the example to follow. Jesus said, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done. And so are we willing to unite together, surrendering ourselves to the Lord to provide that leadership? But there's also a designed splendor, because in verse 9, the verse ends with, bless ye the Lord. The splendor, the excitement of being able to bless the name of God, to be able to rejoice in the person of our Savior. And so we provide leadership to be able to show how we're to surrender to God, and we provide leadership on how we rejoice in the majesty and the glory of our God. We serve a glorious God, I'm telling you that. And he has done much for us, and he is worthy of all of our praise. And I could stand for hours and talk about many ways that God has blessed and moved, and we just rejoice in the goodness of our God. You need to be willing to praise God. You need to be willing to do what is necessary to see God work in our midst so that he might be lifted up and magnified in our life and our testimony. So I see, first of all, in this song, there's a need to be willing. Verse 3, I see there's a need to keep singing. Notice in verse 3, it says, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes, I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. And so we need not only just be willing to praise God, but we just need to keep singing and praising God. Listen, don't let the world rob you of the joy of singing praises to your God. Don't allow, I've had people over the years say, well, I'm just not going to church anymore. There's hypocrites in the church. Why would you allow a hypocrite to rob you of the excitement of praising God Almighty? I've just made up my mind years ago, I'm just not going to allow somebody to rob me of the joy and the excitement of praising God. If nobody else will praise the Lord, I'll praise the Lord. Amen. And if I got to get in my car by myself and do that, I'll just do that and lead songs while I'm driving down the road. Amen. And so we'll just praise God. Notice you need to keep singing, and you need to sing of the blessings of God. In Psalm 13:6, says, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And so what does it mean to sing of the blessings of God? It is to sing blessings of God in reference to abundance. God has been abundantly good to us, and we have something to praise God about. We've seen God answer prayers. We've seen God move in miraculous ways. And just listen, we don't want to just live on what God did in the past. I believe God can bless us in abundance right now. And we need to enjoy singing praises unto our God. Not only do we sing of our blessings of God, but we're to sing of the deliverance of God. In Psalm 27, in verse 6, and I have these verses identified for you in your lesson there, but Psalm 27 and verse 6 says, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto God. What are they singing about? They're singing about deliverance. I'm glad God set me free from the bondage of sin. I'm glad he delivered me from all the wicked vices that controlled and manipulated my life. When I sing songs, I want to sing songs that identify and rejoice in the ways that God has delivered me and set me free. Why? When you sing of the deliverance of God, it is a celebration. And I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we get so stuffy that we forget that when we come into church and we worship and praise our God because he has delivered us and set us free, that we're celebrating that deliverance. It's a celebration of rejoicing in God's ability to deliver us. You need to rejoice in the Lord when you're by yourself. You need to rejoice in the Lord in your home. And it would be good to rejoice in the Lord when you're out among unsaved people so they can see what a Christian is when they're happy. Amen. They might think you're nuts. That's okay. They think you're crazy anyway. So you might as well give them some food for thought. Amen. And so sing of the deliverance of God. Sing of the blessings of God. And sing of the power of God. In Psalm 59 in verse 16, singing of the power of God. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. And so singing of the power of God. It is not singing songs boasting of ourselves. It is songs that identify that we are nothing and God is everything. We are a weakling and we have the strength of God because we rejoice in the power of God Almighty. And we sing about his power. And then I see we sing of the mercies of God. In Psalm 89 and verse 1, singing of the mercies of God. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And so singing of the mercies of God identifies us in confidence. We are assured of this, that it is God's mercies that go from day to day, from week to week, to month, year to year, and from generation to generation. And if God's been merciful unto me, well, praise God, he can be merciful unto the next generation. And so he says, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And so when the preacher gets waxing hot and he starts talking about the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God and the mercies of God, with your mouth you identify with that by shouting amen, amen. And you praise the Lord. You get excited about it. It's okay to be happy in church. It's okay to express the joy of the Lord in church. Listen, I grew up in Funeral Baptist Church. And I'm glad I'm in the Living Baptist Church. Amen. So sing of the mercies. Now somebody's going to go on the internet. It's going to say we changed the name of the church. You watch. Sing of the mercies of God. But in Psalm 104 and verse 33, I see we're to sing continually unto God. Psalm 104 and verse 33 says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. You know, time has a way of working on us. Time has a way of robbing us of our youthful strength and all these different things. Time has a way of changing everything in our life. But listen, it does not have to rob us and change us when it comes to praising our God. We praise him continually. And I just thought of this, is we're praising him continually. That's eternity. We're just getting warmed up for heaven. That's all we're doing. And it's going to be exciting when we get into heaven. We'll be able to sing praises to God. And everyone will be on key. Everyone will be on time. Everyone will have joy. No one will have bad thoughts. No one will look at somebody and say, well, I don't understand why they're not singing right. Nobody's going to say anything negative or anything that's harmful. We're going to be rejoicing in the goodness of our God throughout all eternity. So it'd be good just to practice a little bit down here, amen? So we need to just keep singing. No matter what's going on in your life, just keep singing and rejoicing in the Lord. Well, verse 4 through 11, we need to gain understanding. And I think when we assess the ways that God delivers us, when we enjoy the songs of praise to God for his power and strength in us, I believe when we experience those things, we are gaining an understanding of the abilities of our God and how it impacts our lives and others. Notice in verse 4 and 5, all nature must yield to the will of God. In verse 4, it says, Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, and the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. And when you think about gaining understanding, when we're singing praises under our God, we're acknowledging the fact that all nature must yield to the will of God. When God begins to move and God begins to do what he desires in reference to his will, and listen, everything in the universe, everything that has breath, everything that is alive, everything that has been created has to yield to the will of God. That's why Romans tells us the whole world groaneth waiting for the coming of the Lord. Man, I'll tell you what's going to happen when Jesus comes again. All this world's going to have to yield to his will. Not only that, but when we sing praises to our God, we gain understanding that without God, there is fear and insincerity. Insecurity. I don't know what I put down there. Insincerity will work, but insecurity will work also. Amen. What goes on without God, everything's out of order. Amen. Everything's messed up. In verse 6, notice it says, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, and I arose a mother in Israel. So listen, when God is out of the picture, notice first of all that there's no trade. No trade. There's no trade because there was no protection offered. It says, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walk through byways. The problem is there was no trade going on. Everything was shut down because there was no protection for them to be able to do their business between one another. And it's because God was abandoned. Not God did not abandon them, but people abandoned God. And so no trade. Because there was no protection. There was no travel. It says how in verse 6, it says, and the travelers walked through byways, and they would have to hide on the sides because the robbers were bold and aggressive, and so people weren't free to travel. I just see our world that we're living in, it's getting more and more dangerous to go from one place to another. And it's because of the fact that there's no protection being offered. There is robbers that are bold and looters that are aggressive. And you don't have the right to completely create chaos in all of a society. And the problem is why we have this spirit and attitude is because we have removed the reality of God in every aspect of our society. So there was no travel, there was no trade, there was no tillage. In verse 7 says, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. In other words, the villages fell apart. if they can't travel and they can't trade and they can't do commerce and they can't create income, the villages fell apart. And we get farther and farther in debt. You know, since President Biden has been in the office and with the bills he's trying to get through right now, where you just redefine, this is infrastructure. It's basically what he did the other day. This is infrastructure is buildings and roads and things like that, bridges. And so he goes off on that. You understand that when he gets done with what he's trying to pass through, in the first 100 days he's in office, he's going to run up a $7 trillion debt. What does that mean? Well, the inhabitants of the villages cease.
That's good. That's real good.
It ceases. You can't function like that. There's a payday someday. You got to pay the bill. No justice. He says, they ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. There were people abused. There were people taken advantage of. There was things out of control. But the song here is singing in reference to why God came on the scene and delivered them, because this was the conditions that people were in. So without God, there is fear and insecurity. Turning away from God brings chaos and confusion. Notice in verse 8, they needed defense. They chose new gods. And that's the problem. We choose new gods. We say we don't want God in our schools. We don't want God in our homes. We don't want God on our business. I was hearing some things the other day about these COVID vaccinations, and different companies are starting to say, well, we don't care if you want a religious exemption, you have to get the virus, the vaccine. And why is that? You choosing other gods? You know, we are a free people in America, at least I thought we were. Whatever your position is on it, it's your position, it's your decision what you're going to do. We are a free people. But when you abandon God and you choose that God is not going to be there, they chose new gods, then was war in the gates. And so they needed a defense because they had turned their back on God. Notice in verse 9, they needed leaders. My heart is towards the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. We need leaders in America that will stand up for what is right according to the scriptures. The foundation of what we have in our laws is based upon the moral law that God gave us. And if we continue to abandon that, then we'll have nothing to sing about. They needed leaders. They needed a voice. Notice in verse 10, it says, speak, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in the judgment and walk by the way. They needed a voice. In other words, those, they identified your ranking in society, whether you're royalty or not, based on whether you rode on a donkey or whether you rode on a horse or what was the color of the tapestry on the beast that you were riding. And so she just sings out here, speak. You got to speak up. You need a voice that's speaking up. People are discouraged today because they feel there's no voice for them. Our leaders need to speak up. And then they needed peace in verse 11. Then they are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water. There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts towards the inhabitants of the villages of Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Why? Because they needed peace. They're looking for peace. And people are looking for peace today, but they're not going to find it by looking to other gods. They find peace by turning to the Prince of Peace. And he brings peace. So she sings about what their need was. Then she sings about going on fighting in verse 12 through 30. Notice you must actively get involved in verse 12. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. And so there, you need to get involved. What is she saying here? The song is saying this: you cannot remain silent. You cannot remain neutral. You got to speak up and you got to rejoice in our God so that we can encourage our friends. But not just encourage our friends, but so we can confuse our enemies. And these are not days for Christians to be silent. Now, I've been listening to some different preachers across the country and just kind of tracking things and seeing what's going on. And I hear the plea that these are not days to take your ease in Zion. These are days for Christian to be faithful, committed, sold out, serving, rejoicing, celebrating, excited about all that God is, knowing that we have all these needs in our society and they're only going to be satisfied by our God. And so we need to speak up and rejoice, sing praises to our God, and be actively involved in what is going on. You must be actively get involved. Notice in letter B there, according to verse 13 through 15, you must establish leadership. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the peoples. And earlier in the song, she was singing, we need leaders. Now she says, as she's singing, then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek, and after thee, Benjamin among the people. And out of Makar came down governors, and out of Zebulun there they that handled the pen of the writer, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley for the division of Reuben. There were great thoughts of heart. What she's saying, we need to be actively involved, and these are the ones that rose up and established leadership. And how we need to rejoice when there are those that are willing to stand up and establish the leadership that is necessary. We need to sing about it. We need to rejoice in it. And then in verse 16 and 17, you must realize that not everyone will be with you. Notice in verse 16, it says, why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searches of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. And so not everybody's going to be on board with you. Not everybody's going to be excited about going soul winning. Not everybody's going to be excited about standing on the word of God. Not everybody's going to be excited about standing against culture, swimming upstream as it was. You just need to realize that we don't rejoice and celebrate and sing songs of praise of our God because everybody's in agreement with us. Everybody's going to stand with us. No, sometimes you got to stand alone. And if Deborah did not rise up and Deborah did not encourage Barak, regardless of what the other tribes of Israel were doing, go down to battle, they would not have won the battle. And a matter of fact, when they got down to battle, they didn't do the fighting anyway. God fought for them, and God gave them the deliverance. So you must realize that not everyone will be with you. Letter D there, verse 18. You must remember that there are those that make great sacrifices. It says Zebulun, this is verse 18, Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. Just as much as there are those that won't be with you, there are those who will sacrifice for you. And so we don't allow the actions of one or two people or a minority group, as far as how many people are in that group of people, that say, they say this, that when a church, when a pastor leaves a church because of problems in the church, generally there is less than 10% of people in the church who are upset with him. And they leave the church because of that. Well, if that was the case, I'd be leaving all the time. I always have somebody upset with me. It just never stops. And you just have to realize there are those who may not stand with you, but there are those that sacrifice much. And we have a tendency to focus on the negative more than rejoicing in the positive. And Deborah is singing about those who had sacrificed much. Then verse 19 through 30, this: you must never forget that God confounds and defeats the enemy. And that's where the problem comes in. We forget that it is God who confounds and defeats the enemy. Notice in verse 19, I just put in here, you can see it's in your notes there. The enemy had kings. However, Israel king was God. In verse 19, it says, the kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. Well, the kings, the different nations had kings over them, but what is their king to our king? And so they had a king over them who was God. The heavens fought against them. In verse 20, they fought for heaven. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. In verse 21, then the river Kishon swept them away. An ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Notice in verse 22, the horses' hooves broke. Then were their horse hooves broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Prancings means they're galloping or running or stampeding. They had 900 chariots with iron wheels. But what good is the chariot if you don't have any horsepower? God broke the hooves of the horses as they would be galloping. They had a cursed refuge. In verse 23, it says, curse ye Meraz, said the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to help of the Lord against the mighty. And so Meraz means refuge, a place of safety. Well, it was cursed. So they had nowhere to turn for refuge. And then verse 24 through 23 is the strength of Jael. And so God would use Jael to be able to kill Laban in her tent. And he was destroyed. His life was taken. And Barak, when he comes on the scene, wants to get his enemy. He's already dead. Two women did him in. Amen. So watch out, guys, with these women. Amen. All right, verse 31, need to continue shining. Verse 31 says, so let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. Continue shining. No matter what goes on, be a light for the Lord. Why? Because we have received the light of God. The world has not received the light of God. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unsaved, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. But hallelujah, we've seen the light. God's revealed the light to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have received the light of God. We are commanded to be light for God in this world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. No matter what is going on, no matter what the struggle is, whatever the battle is, if we remember that God is the one who is on the throne and God is the one who is in control, we can always have a song to sing as we shine for Christ. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And so let your light shine. Don't let it get tarnished. I know we get tired. I know we get discouraged. I know sometimes it's like, man, doesn't it ever stop? No, it doesn't. And so, but wait a minute. We are still on the victory side. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so we have something to sing about when no one else has anything to sing about. And, the old secular songs used to try to get some encouragement by listening to all that garbage. I'm glad when I got saved, I heard some Christian songs that spoke of who God is and what God did in my heart. And I tell you, it changed my spirit. It changed my attitude as I rejoiced in the Lord. Amen. The Song of Deborah.